Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me,
how I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we come this morning, we come seeking the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, Father, so that we can get into your word, that we can receive the truth of this, your word, Heavenly Father, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to bring us under your will and your way, Father, and not ours. May the word spoken this morning be yours and not mine. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to be talking to you this morning from 1 Kings, mainly from chapter 17, but got a couple of little things here I want to mention from 1 Kings chapter 16. We are living in a day and time, and we all know that we're living actually in the last days of time. We don't know just how close the end of this church age is, but we do know that it's close. And one day the Lord's going to be coming for His church. We need to be doing everything we can do to get the gospel out and to bring as many out of darkness and into light as we can reach. But we're seeing more and more each and every day of mankind wanting to stay away from the church. He wants to do everything His way. Not God's way, but His way. They'll come to church if they have a need, but if they get that need met, they're gone. And everything is according to their own mind. That's not living the word of Almighty God. Because we're told that we're supposed to be in church. We are to congregate together. And we are to meet in unity. in one mind and one accord, and that being in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. But what brought this on, I was at home studying for my message this morning, or reading through the Bible. And I was going to come to you from back in the New Testament, but God brought me back to this, to let us see just how far man has walked away from the Word of God and what it has brought us to. Now here in the 1 Kings and 16th chapter, we're talking about a leader over Israel, Ahab, and how he brought wrong things to Israel. And one was that Ahab married Jezebel. That was his first mistake. In verse 31 it says, and it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zodians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. You see, he had walked away from God. He even put up an altar to Baal. Walking away from God. But God had a man he's going to send to Ahab and let him know he had punishment coming. Him and Israel. Well, we see today that those that are in charge of our government and things in our land today is receiving a lot of punishment because God has taken his hands off of our country. But this man that God had chosen, we know as the prophet Elijah. He was a Tishbite. And he was an inhabitant of Galilee. And God sent him to Ahab. And the Lord had him to tell Ahab, he says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. This is Isaiah talking to Ahab. There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. There'd be no dew or no rain at all upon the earth until the Lord would say so, which would come actually back through Isaiah. Now, how would you feel today if the Lord was to send you to our president to tell him something like that? What would the percentage be of you likely going and really doing it? Or if you'd pass it off because of fear? And from what we have seen, for the most part, even our pastor today would just pass it off because of the fear that they would have of going to the president to tell him that he was wrong and that God was going to punish him and the land because of it. But now, with what they're being told, they're already walking in fear. But anyway, we know that Elijah did. Even though he had fear, he wasn't told Ahab what God had told him, that there'd be no rain in the land. But he was also being hunted too. After he left there, Ahab had him being hunted. But you see, the Lord knows how to take care of us. We act like today, oh, God can't take care of me. He might take care of others, but he can't take care of me. That's the way mankind is acting today. And that's not so. He can. And he's got his ways. And look how he took care of Elijah. We'd never think of such a thing. Here in verse 2, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is beside or before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." He's going to take care of Elijah by using the birds of the air to feed him. And he told him he could drink from the brook. What does that come to your mind today? Something similar to that. Little voice inside your head tells you, you go do this, and then you're going to be hunted. So you go and hide, and I'll have the birds feed you. How many would actually go on and do that? I don't know of many, if any, really. Now, in verse 6, it says, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook was dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Well, and we all know that the Lord God, through Isaiah's prayer, after 3 years, brought rain back. But he wasn't through with Elijah. And he's going to ask something funny out of him again. Something that is different. And the Lord's children today are supposed to have compassion and love for mankind. We're supposed to be caring for mankind. We're supposed to love all of mankind and to care about them. So what would you do in this case? "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now he's telling him that he's commanded this widow woman to take care of him. And he's telling him where to go. So he goes. No argument. He just, so he arose and went. And when he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Now he's asking her for something to eat. Because God has told him that he had commanded her to take care of him. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Because it was all she had. See, the Lord ain't done asking. He's not done asking Elijah to do something that ordinarily would be hard for one of us today to do, let alone him back then. But anyway, and it's also asking her to do something that'd be hard for her to do. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. You feed me first. Now she hadn't got enough to keep her and her son alive. She's expecting for her son to die. But yet he's asking her to give to him first. Now, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. How many of us would walk like that in that kind of obedience today? Because we're not walking in obedience unto God's word right now when we're not in that kind of shape. And he's not asking us to do anything even close to what he has asked of Isaiah. And stop and think about it. You and I, if we are truly a child of the living God, we've got something Isaiah didn't have. Isaiah didn't have the Holy Spirit to give him strength and to lead and guide him and to give him power. He's only got himself. But to this point, he's been doing everything God told him to do. And if you and I would truly walk according to the word of Almighty God, we'd find things so much different today than what they are, and especially even in our own homes. But man will look at God's word, but instead of seeing God and his power and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, the one that bought and paid for you and I, all he sees is what he wants himself. I'll do it, Lord, but I'm going to do it my way. Not your way, not the way you told me. But I'll do it my way. And for the most part, right now, That means I'm going to stay out of church. I'm not going to get with your people because I'm going to do it my way, and they're not going to want me to do it that way. So I'm just going to stay away. You're going to miss heaven by doing it your way, because God's telling us he is to be first in our lives. We are to keep in contact with him, and he'll show us how we can do things his way. Oh, now, Pastor, you don't know that. Oh, yes, I do. I've been walking with him 55 years. And there's been times that I've done things my way, and they failed. But every time I would walk by the Word of God, it always worked. Like I've told the church once before, about the time he wanted to send me out of the state where I live to take over as pastor of the church. I went, but I done it my way. He told me to go then. I told him, I said, Lord, I've got this other, I've got to get done. But I'll go. So I've done what I had to do. And then I went. But when I went for nothing. Because when I got there, I was 2 days too late. He had put somebody else in. When we don't keep him first in our lives, we miss a lot of blessings. I've got some I'm really worried about right now. I'm worried about them. I love them, but I'm worried. Because they're letting others keep them out of the church and other things. Keep them out of church. When we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to walk in him and he in us. And we are to walk by his word. And if we do that, he makes a way. Yes, we may have to go and talk with people. We may have to make arrangements and things. But he's there to see that everything works out, just like he does here for Isaiah. Like I say, Isaiah didn't even have what you and I've got. Because if we are a child of God, then we have got the Holy Spirit with us. He's living in us to give us the power to do whatever it is that needs to be done in our lives so that we can be in obedience unto the word of Almighty God. But we let so many things get in the way. Now, but she went on. And she made that cake. Here in 15, verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. That was many days. It was almost a year. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. They had both done what God had told both of them to do. And that little meal she had and that little oil she had, that she figured she could make one cake for her and one for her son, and then they was going to die because they were going to starve to death. And it's fed them all now for many days and has not run out. Now with what you and I, if we are a child of God, have got in us, there is no reason at all for us not to walk according to the word of Almighty God and to put Him first in our lives and spend our time with Him. The things and the ways of this world, and that's what we're doing. We're letting the world come into our homes, our families, and take us away from the house and the place and the people of Almighty God. That's exactly what's happening today. That's why we're seeing the churches down like they are. I left here last Sunday, going to Brandenburg. Went by another little church where I'd been at one time. I seen two vehicles there. I'm going to stop and see what's going on. He had the same amount of people we had here. He had five. That was the next little town over. And I know another one right down from my home, less than a quarter of a mile from where I live, this down to 3 and 4, when they have services, which is not very often now. They're not having them even every week. Another little church around the corner going the other way from me, which is about the same distance, but it just the other direction. They're not having services at all. Because mankind has said, no, I'm going to do it my way. I don't need to live by the word of God. I don't need to be putting Him first. Because I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that. But they shut God out. And most of them never get what they wanted, but they keep trying. Where if they had obeyed God, they'd have probably got what they wanted plus more. They don't stop and think about it that way. Oh, well, yeah, but you know, I can do just as good by being here. That's just something I was told. Well, I've got this place here, and all I can talk about to people, I can talk about God and all, and do just as much good as if I'm at church. No, you can't. Now, you can do good, yes, but not as good as if you're at church when you're supposed to be, and you're in God's Word, and you're there with God's people, sharing and doing the things that He calls upon the church to do. Makes a difference. Makes a big difference. Anyway, now, Isaiah, he gets a little kind of upset with God. Because you see, without that spirit, that understanding comes hard. And it came to pass, verse 17, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He had died. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Now she's blaming Elijah for it. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? Now he's blaming God. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. But you see, now, instead of blaming God, he's now crying unto him. And he's placing this child in his care. And he asked him, and let the child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. We are missing out so much today, especially in the church, because they are those that will not give God the time that God is asking them for. And they just will not do it because they've got other things on their mind instead of making the arrangements and things that they can make in order to be in the house or in the place of Almighty God, because they wanted things their own way. Well, I don't need that. Oh, as long as I make it once in a while, I'm all right. No. One day they'll find it out, but they're going to find it out too late, and they're going to miss out on a lot of things and miss out on being able to make heaven their home. Now, and Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. And you see, that's what we all need. We need to all be living a life that people see the Lord Jesus Christ when they see us. They are seeing him, and they are seeing God's word at work, because we have taken it upon ourselves, and we are living that lifestyle. We are living according to his word, and they see that. They see how it works. And then we have something that they really want. Now, I'm going to move over here for just a minute into chapter 18 of 1 Kings. Where Elijah now is to return to Ahab. He's got to go back to this king that's been hunting him. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. 3 years there'd been no rain. Now he's got to go back before this king that's been looking for him to start with, because he figures he was the one that stopped the rain. But he didn't stop it, he just carried the word. But here was a king that was worshiping something else besides God. So he was blaming Elijah for it. Verse 2. Elijah didn't argue about it. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. He's kept 50 prophets going because Jezebel was going to destroy him. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we may lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou that, my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? You're going to send me now to get me slayed? That's what Obadiah is telling Elijah. But here in 10 says, as the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord has not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they find thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Got two men kind of afraid. But Elijah's doing exactly what God told him to do. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whether I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I thy servant fear the Lord from my youth. But he's still scared because, see, those men didn't have what we've got today. We don't have to carry that kind of fear. We don't have to say, well, Lord, I can't go. I can't do what you want me to do. Because we have no excuse whatsoever. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got the Holy Spirit. And we have the Father all living in us. They are with us at all times. We have nothing to fear. But we've got so many walking in fear today and not doing what the Word of God has told them to do. Was it not told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I had 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. Yes, he was in fear, but it's going to stand fast. And here is one that's standing that fast and standing straight and doing what he's told to do. And yet he didn't have what we've got. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You're the one that has been troubling us. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house. I have been the one troubling them. You. Now the Lord sends you and I to the president and tell him, don't blame nobody but yourself. You are the one that has troubled this country. How many is likely to go and do that? No. Because they know if they do, they are in big, big trouble. Or that's what they think. Where if they would go do it, God would make a way for them. Now, thou and thy father's house, in that you have spoken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. He's telling me exactly how many even and where, what they're doing. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. He said, I'm standing alone. But Baal's got 450 there. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. Get everything ready for sacrifice, but don't start no fire under it. And call you on the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. He's going to give them a little demonstration now. He said, you got 450 prophets, and I'm by myself. They can call on their God, and I'll call on mine, and the one that answers and puts that fire under the sacrifice is God. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. He's making fun of them, is what he's doing. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and latches. till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. But now Elijah, besides mocking them that way, look what all he done to his in order to show them the power of Almighty God. Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as could contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt offering or the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. They put an awful lot of water on everything. Soaked that wood good with water. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. The trench he dug around it. He filled it now with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. It didn't just take the sacrifice, it took it all. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And yet, he killed all those prophets. But God was with him because he was obedient unto what God told him up to that point. But you know, you and I today, how much obedience are we really walking in today? And yet we have something Elijah did not have, because we have the deity of the Godhead living within us if we are a child of God. If you're a child of God, you've got the power to do anything God will call upon you to do. You need to begin to make arrangements to get into a church. A church that is teaching the Word of God, not teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, but teaching the Word of God as it is written in the Bible, being with His people and spending time in the Word of God and with the Lord Jesus Christ, setting up a prayer time in your home and a time of studying God's Word, but also making sure of that time to be with God's people. and you'll find that God will take care of you. May it not even be anyways near the way you would think, but he'll do it. He's been taking care of me for a long, long time. And a lot of the times I didn't know where it was coming from, where the next would be from, but it was always there when needed. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word, to support each other, to stand as brothers and sisters in the family of Almighty God. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Israel, Jerusalem, Father, we pray for them and we pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Father, our land, that without any excuse at all, turned and walked so far away, taking the Lord out of every place he was in, not one of his name even mentioned. Father, help us to remove those from our office of our government that is against the church, against your people, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to replace them with those that will work for the church, work for your people, put Jesus back in the places he's been taken out of, and work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for our prayer list today, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch each one to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Amy's friend Sue, and Sue's family, Amy's husband Tom, and Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, Brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls of the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And these pastors, Father, I pray that they are walking close with the Lord Jesus Christ, walking filled with the Holy Spirit to keep these churches upon the pathway of righteousness. This young man will, Father. I'm praying that he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, Father, you know the needs there. We lift them up, put them in your hand. That little church of God there at Akron, Father, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge to where the lost, Father, can go and find the Lord Jesus Christ and make heaven their home. For my young friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Brack Mishai, Pastor Sefer and Iron. Father, these all, we pray, Father, to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs, because, Father, they walk in places to work. If they are caught, will mean imprisonment and death. Now the Johnson family, the Lee family, the Branson family, my wife's family, and my family. Father, we all have family members that are walking in darkness. We ask the Holy Spirit to work within their families, Father. Work with those that are walking in darkness and help to turn them from darkness to light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost and all can make heaven their home. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Monvillo and her mother, for Sue, for David, for Palins, for Kelly Smith and his wife. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch them in great and mighty way, Father, till they'll know that it is you that has touched them. Now, Father, for this church, it's yours. Make of it what you want it to be, Father. Make of me, Father, what you want me to be. You set me here as overseer. Now, Father, I'm asking, use me, Father, in a great and mighty way, not to lift me up before man, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, once again, this prayer is made in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless. All right, everyone. Remember, 6 p.m. this evening, God willing, we can all be together once again. So until then, hold on to him, and he'll hold on to you. Have a good day now.